Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Every night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sorry.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care. No, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budget live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Barn Grill here in beautiful southern middle Tennessee. Welcome, you bunch of low lifers. Hope everybody's doing well out there. And this is the podcast for Monday, June the 26th. And if I sound like I've been talking way too much, it's because normally I do in life, but I I emceed that old Alabama Bass Trail North Division finale on Wheeler Lake yesterday. And yeah, it was a lot of talking, and boy, I'm a little parched, as they say. Great time though, man, getting to catch up with old friends. I said that from the last one I did at Pickwick as well. Just, this is always awesome to see people I've known for a very long time, and Kay and her crew do a phenomenal job. It is the most competitive tournament trail around, in my opinion. Just stone cold killers around every corner. And it's an honor to get to be a part of it. And that she thinks enough of me to ask me to fill in for old Robbie Floyd while he's doing other things. So had a great time. Got to get out on the water in the Express and chase some of the guys around for live coverage and watch some fish catching going on, and Wheeler showed out. So it was a good weekend, but I do sound a little hoarse. Some quick housekeeping. If you would like to send gifts to my house, I'll get you my address, because this is the last week that I will ever be in my 30s, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the last podcast in my 30s, because for next Monday's show, I'm going to take a vacation. We're not going to have a July the 3rd LBL, because that is indeed my birthday. And family and I are going out of town. We're going to go to the beach, try to do a little fishing and being vegetables for a couple of days and down in Florida. So not going to record a podcast next week. When I get back, and it's the holiday, right? You know, it's 4th of July, and I don't normally do that, but my 40th birthday falls right on a podcast day. So I think what I will do, and don't hold me to this, but this is what I want to do, is have a Low Budget Live, actually live, later that week after the 4th and everything, maybe on like Thursday of that week, and throw down with the lowlifers, a little birthday party with the lowlifers. But yeah, man, getting old is dirt, and I feel it. I've been doing a lot of work around the house, and this freaking deck project still going on. But and I'm just sore. I just wake up sore. Such an old fart at this point. But yeah, man, 30s have been a wild ride. There's no doubt about it. But let's see what the old future will bring with the 40. So here we go. July the 3rd, y'all be thinking about me. I'm probably going to be in some Tito's, I'm not going to lie, down at the beach or out in a boat, most likely trying to thinking about pulling the express down. So anyways, but no Monday podcast next week. So appreciate y'all, man. I know y'all, every time I miss one, y'all are like, where y'all at? Where you at? And the low lifers, I appreciate y'all so much. So I want to give you a heads up on that. And let's thank these sponsors and let's get into it. Got a great guest today to kind of follow up on the conversation from last week that I had with myself when I had the sauce with myself last week over all this desperation and proficient. And it's not any better this week, but we're gonna have a good conversation with somebody that I care about and respect very much in from BPT. So Startron, kicking ethanol in the teeth, in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, in that outboard engine. Nobody wants an outboard engine that don't run. Nobody. Nobody wants to be stranded in the middle of nowhere because of stupid dumb ethanol. All you got to do is have a bottle of Startron. When you fuel up, a little dab will do you. Enzyme-powered fuel treatment. They also have Starbright products. It's Starbright season. Get your boat or your truck looking right. Or you could be like me and use the mildew stain remover around the house all the time, like on the diving board, on pool floats. it comes in handy. Startron at Starbright. We appreciate the folks down there in Fort Lauderdale for supporting LBL. ProGuide Batteries, ProGuideBatteries.com. LBL10 is going to save you money. Money, 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 money. They are running an awesome special through the 4th on their new lithium line of batteries. Go check it out. Let them know we sent you. I could not be more impressed by those batteries. I know I say it every single week, but I'm telling you, they are affordable lithium batteries, and I've had zero issues. I was terrified of lithium because there's just so many lithium battery companies out there now. But ProGuide, they've been in the battery business for many, many moons. ProGuide Batteries, go check them out. ProGuideBatteries.com, LBL10. All right, this is a baitworks.com. I got to pull up a list here. So they've got a mega sale. A mega sale. They're calling it a flash sale. But 4th of July, it's kicking off now. And they have a ton of stuff on sale. Duncan-10 at bait-works.com. You can get the LOB jigs there, which are getting bit. I'm getting pictures all the time. I'm catching fish on them. But go check out the jigs. It's got LBL on the package, man. Go check it out. But this week, though, I got this list. And this will start on June 28th, okay? So June 28th, we're going to have some 4th of July sales starting. And I'm talking about every brand, Rapala, freaking Halo, Venom, Yamamoto, Berkeley, Six Sense, Storm, Buckeye, Bill Lewis, Head and Missile Baits, Net Bait, Bait Fuel, some of my favorites, some old Toad Thumpers. You can get those Bad Crawls and Crawl Gills. This is all like a 20 to 25% off sale on so many brands, okay? I mean, Bandit Crankbaits, freaking Yum. Get you Yum. Get you some of them Yum Dangers, okay? Strike King Plastics, Rabbit. They even got them little baits with them little fur tails, okay? But baitworks.com, I see y'all using the code out there, and I appreciate it. Then they're having a 4th of July, the flash sale. I'm trying to pull this up here, and I'm gonna post this on social as we go so you know the dates, but some pretty good deal. Like on June 28th, a flash sale on Shimano Curado, which is one of my favorite bait casters ever, from the time they designed the very first one to now. I love those. It's like 25% off on June 28th. Killer. All hooks, tools, and accessories starting June 29th, 25% off. It's freaking save you some cash. Save you some cash. Duncan-10 lets them know you are a low lifer, but you can get you some trocars there on June 29th. But I'll post all that. Tons of dates. It's a lot to read off, but go check it out, bait-works.com. And all that will be spelled out on their site as well and through social media channels. I would assume they do a killer job, but I appreciate those boys there in Missouri partnering with the podcast. And last but not least, hang that old banner right here. Express Boats, the Bassmaster Classic winning all welded high performance aluminum boat built in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Great people. Sea deck bow to stern on that bad boy. 250 Yamaha shell on the X21 that I'm running. Best hole shot in the game. But go check out that H17. Go check out that X19. Go check out those bay boats. They got something for you and your budget, no matter what. I promise you, Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. All right. Got all the housekeeping out of the way. I'm so depressed about turning 40. Kinda, I think. I've looked 40 for a long time and felt 40. Like, when I turned 30, everything started falling apart. Like, I broke my ankle, like, a month after I turned 30. So, here's to 40. No telling what'll happen. Break a damn hip. I don't know. So last week's episode, I got so, like, the feedback was incredible. And what I mean by that, just from lowlifers and from industry people, from Elite Series pros, from BPT pros, like, thank you for saying what, you know, is not being said. And that's not me patting myself on the back. I still go back to my, I don't know why more pros don't stand up and go, this is bull that this is going on. This is ridiculous. Why are we letting this happen? Right. And that's frustrating, but I had so many reach out, man, you name them basically, other than just the few that were involved in this scandal. So MLF is, they announced this week, of course, they had their big draft for the team series deal there. And, you know, it was just like nothing ever happened. I've been told that there was a statement made at the meeting that they're still investigating, and they do have a lot of GoPro footage to go through, I guess. There was some audio from Spencer Shuffield leaked. It's online. It's talking about kind of what was going on in that event. And it's like a hot mic, and it's not good. Like, I don't think it's good. I don't have it. I listened to it. I meant to save it on my phone so I could play it on the show. It's terrible of me to mention that, but it, you know, I believe Trait Zaldane posts that on Twitter is where I was sent that from. So you can go check it out, but it's, I don't know, man. It's just like even him and the boat official are having a conversation about, well, the folks at home just know it's a good tournament. You know, they're just catching them. And it's just like they're pulling the wool over people's eyes with what's going on. And it sucks. I've talked to several guys that were in that event, and we're going to talk to one of them today that was in that event that actually caught them better. His weights got better and he fell in the standings and he was doing it the right way. And he's frustrated. He spoke out at their meeting this week about his frustrations about people not doing things the right way. He's a veteran pro. He is a very well-known character in the sport of bass fishing. He has several wins in professional bass fishing, from MLF to the Bassmaster Opens to the FLW Invitationals. Back in the day, he's fished the Bassmaster Classic. He is one of the most, like, larger than life people you will ever meet, but is also one of the most humble guys that would do anything for anybody. We're going to get the sauce from him right now, presented by the W Sauce. They got that new breakfast sauce out there, and breakfast sauce 2. You're going to want to check it out, but let's hear from him right now. Mr. Worldwide himself, James Worldwide Watson from St. Clair. He's already fished day one at St. Clair. Caught him 18 pounds. Now we're going to bug him.
You got it.
What up, bud?
James. Hey.
Hey, Bill.
Hey.
Hey.
We're investigating this cheating going on. I just wanted to tell you, James, that nothing to worry about. There's nothing to see here. Just look away, James.
I'll look in a different direction, Bill.
Just look in a different direction, James. Buddy, yeah. First of all, I mean, I texted you yesterday, but you were like, I'm not going to catch them, when I talked to you the other day. 18 pounds later, look at you catching them up at St. Clair.
Dude, I had like 8 scorables yesterday. I jumped off a 4-pounder, had another big fish of some sort pull off, and just lucky I jumped around Canada, going Canadian.
Is that what, you know, we talked, it's interesting in this event, we talked about it, I got to catch up with you in practice a little bit, and you couldn't fish in Canada in practice because it was closed, but you could go over there and kind of poke around and go, all right, this is what this looks like. So you just kind of went blind to Canada then.
I did. I had plenty of old waypoints. You know, let's face it, they show up on the same places year after year. You just got to drive around and fish until you land on some of them.
Yeah.
So, I had some shallow stuff I wanted to sample, and in practice, it was really a cloud. The water was really cloudy. And I said, man, I hope this clears up. Yesterday morning I got there and it was clear as a bell. It was perfect.
But do you think, I was actually texting with Zona about this last night, name dropper. Big name dropper guy, you know me. But Zona's like the St. Clair dude, you know. He knows it.
Yes.
But dude, that place has suffered from like, sure seems to have since COVID, I guess. Like they talked about, like Canada was off limits during COVID, and so it got beat up. But I was watching some of y'all's tournament yesterday, and it certainly seems like, and there's a lot of fish being caught. Don't get me wrong, but it's not St. Clair. Like you were in the event I was in up there in 2018. It was ridiculous. It was the craziest place I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
Like I'd have bought a house there that week if they would have, if I could have found one I wanted, you know, it was crazy.
Well, if you'd had any money.
Well, yeah, if I wasn't a bass fisherman, boat part salesman, I would have moved to St. Clair Shores. You've got to do other things in life to do that.
Definitely. Definitely.
did you see that though? And I know you guys only get 2 days, but do you think the fishing is off there compared to what St. Clair that folks are used to?
Yeah, it's off. It's off a little bit. I don't know if it's because they've had exceptionally warm, time of year. It's been warmer longer, earlier than normal. I don't know. But no, I fished 2 days of practice out there and never caught a 4-pounder.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, I've never come here and not caught a 4-pounder in 2 days.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely fishing a little different. So, I was unloading the other morning as a couple of guides putting in, and the guide was parking his truck. We walked back to our boats and he's like, man, he says, what do you think? And I said, I think it's pretty tough. And I said, I've been here 2 other times this same 10-day period. And I said, it was an absolute slaughter.
Yes.
He goes, yeah, it's been tough. And I said, hey, I said, don't give me, information. Yeah. He said, no, I won't give you information. He said, I know that. And he says, it's been tough for a couple of weeks. He says, I can go all day if I'm lucky, catch 1 4-pounder.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, it is. And you guys had a pretty calm day yesterday. You got weather coming though, right? Looks like.
Yeah.
For the rest of it.
Yeah.
I think it was JT said yesterday on live. He's like, when you get a calm day, just know you're going to have to pay for it on the backside of this somewhere on the Great Lakes. Like that never happens a couple days in a row. I feel like
it didn't that 2018, didn't it? For us?
Well, we did. Practice was brutal, but then we got good weather during the event. Thank goodness. I actually broke my graphs the first day of practice going to Canada and trying to come back to the American side where I was saying, because I stay in America, James.
He's American.
I'm American made. America. I ain't going to stay over there with the damn maple syrup. Okay. I'm coming back.
Speaking Frenchy, whatever that.
Yes.
Pepe Le Cue talk.
I do love crepes though. I do love crepes. They're little thin pancakes. I was coming back and my graph mount I had on my Ranger at the time on the dash, it just completely came out and landed in my lap about halfway across the lake. My console shattered. It was like, oh, okay, so this is how this fitting to go. Okay. And that was day one of practice.
Dude, isn't it crazy? I mean, you talk about graph mounts. I've been running the Beat Down Outdoors now. This is my third year with them. I don't have to tighten up anything on my Beat Down.
That's nice graph to mounts hear.
Compared to all these others that I've used in the past, won't name any names, but all of them.
Yeah, pretty much all of them.
Dude, it's unbelievable how good the graph mounts do.
You've got the one that raises, like, raises up to you, yes. Right? So because you're old and you can't see LiveScope, so you got to take it to your face.
Oh, dude, it hurts my.
No, neck. I get it. We're all gonna have curved spines from staring at that stupid thing.
Look at Tommy Biffle's spine. Whatever. Scoliosis.
I'll cut you.
Hang on, I gotta turn around so I can see who you are.
And he didn't even have LiveScope. He just flipped bushes and ended up that way. What's Jacob Wheeler gonna look like? What's Jacob Wheeler gonna look like in another 6 months? I've picked on Jacob 2 weeks in a row on this show. Poor Jacob is gonna be curved. He's gonna look like an S.
He is. Gonna look like one of them. I think of one of them creatures on the Star Wars movies that's got them big long necks that go out from their body and curve up.
Look at Biffle to know your future. And he just did it with a flipping stick in the bushes. And he can't even turn around.
Yeah. Next time I see Wheeler, I'm going to slap him right in the middle of the back and tell him, stand up straight.
Just break out the drill sergeant on him.
You dude. Oh, boy.
You broke out. So I teased this just a little bit because I had a little short intro this week to get to the – when I've got James Worldwide Watson, I mark off all the time I can because – you and I, we've had some great conversation over the years. You're a good friend of mine. And what I like about you is you and I can disagree on things and we can still be friends on the other side of it. And we've had some disagreements, but you're also, you're like me. You've never, listen, I remember when I killed you, boy.
You don't remember because he's already dead.
But I just love your honesty and you do call balls and strikes more so than anybody, and you're not scared to. And I think a little bit of that is you're lucky to have, and this is your strategy, you go after non-endemic sponsors that have your back, that love your personality, that know who you are. And so you will speak up about stuff going on in this industry that everybody that I heard from this week that was like, great podcast last week, man, won't say publicly about stuff going on. In your league or other leagues. And that's the beauty of James Watson. But I had heard, and I called you, we talked about this, that you were upset about Cayuga because it's rare. And I talked to Russ Lane about this as well, Andy Morgan. It's rare in professional bass fishing. There may be like two times this has ever really happened legitimately where you catch them way better the second day weight-wise and you fall in the standings, right? Yeah. Like, that doesn't happen.
I've never done that.
Doesn't happen. No. Because normally the lake, even if they're great, they will give in to the pressure a little bit. Now, it may be different with catch, weigh, release. Obviously, they're going right back. But at Cayuga, you caught them better the second day. You had a cool pattern figured out, a couple different patterns you were telling me, but you caught largemouth. Mm-hmm. And you had, what, 19-something the first day?
I think I had 19-15 and then 20-15. I think I went up a pound or a pound and a half.
And dropped places in the standings.
Dropped six places.
And there was a lot going on because you had guys that didn't figure out the smallmouth thing on day one, and then they were like, uh-oh. And then they all changed on day two and just went to the area where all the smallmouth were getting caught and got in the middle of that melee. But you were frustrated and I know MLF. I'm when I see pictures of Daniel Fennell walking around, I just think FLW. I can't help it. I saw Daniel Fennell was at Fishing Church this morning. I saw that on the internet with Mark Rose there. And I was like, it's FLW. Anyways, they talked to you guys at the meeting about Cayuga because you had the team draft. Everybody's getting drafted. Everybody that's in question for getting in trouble at Cayuga or protested or however you want to look at it, they're all in this event. They're all fishing. So what's their word to y'all on that? Is still under investigation?
Yes. Yeah. Everything is under investigation. We were briefed on the fact that this investigation is going on and that hopefully by Saginaw Bay, they'll come to some conclusions. Now, first, what I really lost my shit on at the meeting.
Because you stood up, though. For people who don't know, you stood up and said, hey, by God, I'm sick of this, right?
I was walking out the door.
Okay.
And what started it, what really set me off was Dudley was going on about, well, what if this is about catching a spawning fish, whether you're sight fishing for them or not sight fishing for them. And you've been around Dudley. I love Dave. You've been around him. He can get a little, he'd go down a rabbit hole real quick.
Yeah. Dudley can climb down a rabbit hole for sure.
Yeah. So he's in this rabbit hole about flipping over next to a stump, but the water's murky, but you know, that's a spawning bass, you know, in your mind and heart that bass with everything in your moral fiber, you know, that's a spawning bass. And you go back and you catch him another time, but you can't see him. He's there. And he's going on and on about this. And I'm like, I've had this. I've sat in too many meetings, especially in Major League Fishing, when all the anglers, all 80, are in the same room for this meeting, and it just spirals out of control.
Yeah.
And I just flipped my shit. I was like, I'm done. This is stupid, and I'm not going to sit here. I said, we're grown men. We know what's right is right. We know what's wrong is wrong. And if you don't know the damn difference, you need to stand up and turn yourself in, get out of this organization, quit fishing, get fired from all your sponsors, all this other stuff. And I just went on and on for about a minute. I drill sergeant it just for a minute.
Went drill sergeant.
And it was just, yeah. And Dave started to say something else. And I'm pretty certain that I told him to shut the F up. That I'm not listening to this. We're going on. And I said, we sit through dozens of these meetings and we talk about this and we listen to each other. And then we hear an apology every once in a while from somebody that steps over the line. And I said, I'm done with it. Back in the day, when I was a young kid, I remember one time a particular angler whipping the dog shit right out of another angler on the boat ramp. That's how it was handled back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
When you got caught doing something you wasn't supposed to do, or cheating old boy that, you know, gets to fish two tournaments a month at the house and, you know, spends all that money on his boat. And, you know, you don't take that away from that rabid dog.
No, you better not. You know?
No. But it was the meeting process of, you know, sight fishing and this. And I said, the next thing you're going to say is that I see a bunch of schooling fish out there and I see them with my eyeballs and I'm throwing at them. I'm visually sight fishing for them and they blow up on my top water twice. And the fifth time he finally hooks it and it's hooked on the outside of the head. And I said, I'm going to boat flip his ass in the boat and I'm going to weigh him because that's my fish. And yeah. You're not going to tell me I'm sight fishing for him.
Yeah.
I caught him, even though he's hooked in the head. I said, we ain't going down this.
No,
we know what's right. We know what's wrong. Stop all the crazy bullshit.
Well, if you
that's what I'm going on.
Well, and if you, but to me, and I love Dudley, but to me, it's like, if we have to explain away the gray area, then it just needs to be against the rules, right? Like, if you've got to just go in circles and go,
yeah, well,
this is what it is, you're already wrong. And I from the guys that were doing that on camera, like, I might have known it was up there, but I wasn't looking at it when I caught it. Well, okay, yep. But then you caught the same bedding fish twice in the same day, which is against the rules, and you knowingly did it.
Yep.
You knowingly did it. So however you explain that away, you broke a damn rule.
It's wrong.
You broke a rule. Now, we did have guys on camera that appeared, allegedly, and MLF will sort this out, but that did intentionally go catch one sight fishing again. Like, it's on camera. Yeah. It looks like the same fish. They got GPS trackers on the boat. They saw them do it. And one of those anglers has said, hey, I wouldn't have made the cut if I didn't catch it. Like, he has said that and was prepared to apologize at this meeting.
And was told not to.
And it's just
was recommended to stand down and not say anything. Let this process work out.
Yeah. And I don't know. For me, James, and you're out there doing it. All I do is cover it now from this chair. But what do you think is the adequate situation here, though? For me, it's like, if there are 5-6 anglers, I don't know, maybe imagine there were a lot of guys off camera, right? They never had a camera all week. I God forbid, I hope they weren't doing it. But if the guys in the top 10 were doing it on camera, it's like, what? Surely. Yeah. I mean, I don't trust enough people to think that that wasn't going on when you're trying to get a check or desperate to get a check or whatever, outside of the top 10.
Well, let me give you some technology and let me give you some confidence in the league. The league has come up with, and they've reviewed, because we all carry the stat units on our boats.
Yeah, GPS.
And in that GPS stat unit, this is the league. So this gives me a little boost and vote of confidence for the league doing the right thing. They have already consolidated all these GPS coordinates. And if you're within X amount of feet or whatever with a 5-pounder,
mm-hmm.
and then later in the day, you're in that same little zone right there, 10 feet, 10 yards, whatever, and you log another 5-pounder, you're getting polygraphed.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you finished first or 51st.
I like polygraphed. That.
Okay. So that's what the league's doing.
So they're digging through all that right now. Yeah, they're digging through all that. And I knew that. I knew you guys had those boxes that could show that. And then when the official, you record it, it shows the time.
That's correct.
And so they can go back and cross-reference it. And I get that takes a long time. My question to you as a competitor is this. What's the right process when we have these events right on the heels of this? Because now you got a couple of these guys doing well in this event. I mean, should there be a suspension? If we thought you cheated in the last one, should you be allowed to compete in the next one until we – you know what I mean? Like, what's that? Well, as a pro and you're in it, what do you want to see? Because I know what I would like to see. I think they should have to sit the next one out while we figure it out, sit in the corner.
When we do a shakedown with privates, we'd receive privates. This is back when you could really be a drill sergeant. We'd have shakedown and – one of the drill sergeants who hadn't been introduced to the company would be in the barracks, and he'd have a dummy dressed up in battle dress uniform. And we'd turn the privates where they're just out of the corner of their eyes because they're in formation. And you'd hear this private just screaming up in the third story of the barracks. And then out of the corner of your eye, you could kind of see it. He'd throw this dummy out the window, and it hit the ground. And we'd have some privates over in the bushes kind of staged up. And we put on this thing, and then they dragged this private off like we'd physically hurt this private, which we're not allowed to do. Just scare the bejesus out of these troops. It's like, you know, don't fuck around.
They stepped in line right then, right?
Drill sergeant's gonna get you. You know? So we kinda, you know, always had this fear of if you do wrong, there's consequences. Now we wouldn't go throw you out the barracks or throw you out the third floor window or anything. But it was a statement.
It was an attention getter. It was a statement, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And or we'd have a private, you know, run off, you know, start running. This would be stage two. You'd run off and we'd have some other private stage to tackle that. You know, I mean, we always had something.
Yeah. You had some tricks up your sleeve.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, in the Army and in the real world, in the Army is Uniform Code of Military Justice. And there's consequences for actions that were unbecoming. We never see enough consequences for unbecoming actions. And until you do chop somebody's fingers off for stealing, they're just going to keep on stealing.
Yeah.
And the same goes in this business. If you was emboldened enough not to show your boat official, I won't name any names, but I watched live driving 16 and a half hours. I left Saturday morning with my tail between my legs with a 28th place finish and absolutely felt like freaking Superman for catching that ass for 2 days.
Had fun doing it. Had a blast.
Had a blast. Got pissed off because then you look up and all of a sudden you're in 24th, and then all of a sudden you're in 26th, and all of a sudden you catch a 4 and you upgrade and you fail to 28th. And So I'm driving home and I'm watching the same live that you guys watched on that Saturday on the knockout round. And I'm like, that ain't good. Dude, boy, both hands over the gunwale. Oh, can't get my hands on it. or grabbing one and turning around and not to show it.
Which is in the rules. And everybody else does it. Yeah, that is something that's in the rule. You have to verify. Yeah. Yes.
Verify. Now, I'm not saying there's a script hooked in the mouth. You know, I hate that. I'm watching hooked in the mouth. Yeah. I'm like, just show it to him. If, your boat official nods his head, says good to go, show it to him. You don't have to say look. Show it to him. Make him look. You have to verify. At Murray, I catch a nice 4-pounder on the bed. Mm-hmm. Snagged that sucker right in the eyeball. I was like, whoa. And I don't know how long I was. I didn't say anything. I showed it. And I was like, yeah. He says, do you want to weigh it? I'm like, no, I don't want to weigh it. I said, because he might swim back. I didn't say this, but I misunderstood a rule. I understood the rule that if you weigh him once that day, you can't weigh him again.
No,
so I thought that meant, so if I foul hook one, I want to know how much he weighs. Can I catch up again? And I'm like, no, you can't because you already weighed him.
Right.
Not tallied or scored him, but weighed him.
Yeah.
And I asked at the meeting and I called and I got the same answer. You're right, James. If you weigh him, you can't weigh him again that day. Not if you count him, weigh him.
Just put him on the scales
and weigh him. So I turned him loose and in a little bit, I thought I was off live. By then, I thought I was already off live because I'd held it in long enough. And here come my explosion for jacking that fish up. And I did that, but I had, you have to verify, sight fish must be verified. Legal catches in the mouth. Something like to that aspect is what the rule is, mm-hmm. the way it's said every time. And guys weren't verifying. Guys were deliberately, in my opinion, not verifying.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you get one and it was a slam dunk hooked in the mouth and like hooked in the mouth. Look at that. Oh, look at your mouth. Oh, you're going to verify that one?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about the other ones you didn't verify? So in my opinion, all those fish should not count.
I agree.
Now, should they go down the line and count their next one? No.
No, because you cheated. You broke a rule.
No. You didn't verify that one, and that's one of your scorables for that day that counted towards your five-fish creel? You just went to four. Oh, let me review some more. Oh, that was a 4-8, and that was one of your catches that were toward your cumulative weight of five fish. Take that one off. Now you got three. Now where are you sitting standings?
Yep. Yeah. But to that's me, what they should do. Regardless of the subtracting the weight, to me it's a moral issue because you broke a rule and you knowingly broke a rule, because if you'll break that, then what the hell else are you breaking? If you'll break it with a camera guy and an official right over your shoulder and you're breaking, well, yeah, what are you doing when you fish a Toyota series and you're in the middle of the lake and it's just you and a co-angler?
Yep.
What are you doing then? And an invitational. What are you doing in a Tuesday night or at home or whatever? Like, I have a major issue with somebody that can break a rule. A, try to explain it away like it's not a big deal, but right. Then B, like I can't imagine, but I have a conscience, right? A little bit of one. Anyways, I can't imagine being the topic of conversation at Cayuga and then showing up at St. Clair whistling Dixie, ready to be on live again. Let's go, boys. Like, that's a weird trait for somebody to have that makes me immediately not trust
suspicious.
Them. Yeah, exactly. Not trust them, because I would be physically, it's like so sick that my peers thought I was a piece of garbage for what I did on camera, like wanting to throw up, that I would be the guy that wanted to stand up and say something. I would be the guy like, hey, that I want to say something. I would be that guy. Yep. But the just ability to go, eh, nothing's going to happen, like you said, hadn't been enough fingers chopped off. Yep. In our sport, historically, there has not been.
No.
Why, though, and I said this last week, and I told Wheeler, I apologize for picking on him just because his name came to mind. But why in our sport, though, do the organizations not hang folks out to dry? And why in this sport do the participants, the other anglers, and I used the LeBron James reference last week, like if somebody on the court tries to gouge his eyes out in a press conference, somebody's going to go, LeBron, why did number 27 on the other team try to gouge your eyes out? And he would then talk about it, right? And in bass fishing, we're like, oh, it just never happened. It just never happened. It's weird.
You know, because it's – well, I know what I think – I shouldn't say no. What I believe happens is – The Lawrences, the Garmins, the Mercuries, yes, the Ranger Boats of the world, mm-hmm, one of their guys,
yes,
does that. And it's a bad look on them. It's a bad look on their angler. And they don't want to be in that tough position. And there isn't enough heads rolled. I'm friends with Jeff Sprague.
Yeah.
I went from Cayuga last year to a week before the start of this season. And I hadn't said a word to Jeff Sprague. I told him I didn't like his apology to Cayuga for the text message scandal or whatever it was. But I said, I ain't going this year and fishing down a bank, and I come to you and I see you, and then I cut out 100 yards early. I'm not going to be at the boat ramp, see you, not wave and say hi to you. I said, this is killing me. I said, I'm calling you. You're my friend. We've been friends for a long time. I said, I ain't going to do this year. I said, I'm disappointed, and I tell you why I haven't talked to you. I haven't heard from you. You didn't counsel with me. You didn't call and say, man, I jacked this up, or this is what went down. You didn't ask for my opinion. So I didn't call you. And I said, I'm not going to do that this year, Jeff. You're my friend. I said, you paid the price for you're paying the price for it. Jeff lost a striking deal.
He lost a lot of deals.
Some rods.
Yeah.
A ton of money. More than most anglers could probably make in 10 years. Sprague lost it in one whack. And he lost it 30 minutes before that meeting. So he paid the ultimate, or he paid the big time price.
And he does get, and look, I give Jeff, you know, and I know Jeff like you know Jeff. I've known Jeff for many, many years, and I give, yep, Jeff a hard time. But Jeff became a punchline anytime anybody's, yep, cheating, right? Like he sprayed, yep, them. I mean, hell, yep, Fighter said it on Bassmaster Live. I mean, Jeff has, in the sport of fishing, like he has taken a beating and, yep, and paid the price. I will say that. Yep. And it's like, you know, and I said this last week, I believe. I think he was made example of.
He was.
And there were a lot of others that could have been made, yeah, made example of got, for a lot of years.
The league got caught with their pants.
That's down. Right. And they had to
and
do
they
something.
Had to react.
Yeah. But what sucks, though, is what we're saying, James, is he was sponsored by Toro, which is a league sponsor. And in my opinion, now, again, this is Luke Duncan, this is alleged, they weren't going to do anything because of Toro, in my opinion. But that would be easy to connect those dots. It's the same reason that I've talked about, like, the Tucker Smith, Joe Durham thing on You Follow with the Lawyer, all that insanity, the kid sponsored by Bass Pro Shops. And so it's like everybody's just like nothing ever happened. And it was shady. Yep. It was shady all the way around. He won $1 million in the Bass Pro. He's one of the little Bass Pro guys. And so now everybody's, oh, it's no big deal. He's just a young kid. Nothing ever happened. Well, dude, it was shady. You were trying to get an advantage. You were trying to take advantage of other people to excel in the sport of fishing. And it's just – so I that's Luke Duncan drawing that conclusion about Toro. He lost his Toro deal when that, yep, happened. He did indeed lose his Toro deal, but I'm saying that tie, because if I'm Jim Wilburn or whoever would have been dealing with Toro at the time, and I call and go, hey, the guy we told you needed to sponsor we got to disqualify him from this event because he cheated. That's a terrible look all the way around for the organization. And I think that's
absolutely,
like you're saying, that's what we run into this industry where it's so small. So you got Bass or MLF, they're trying to sell Lowrance. They're trying to sell, just like the anglers are. They need those organizations sponsoring. They need those companies sponsoring the organization. So when one of their top anglers does something blatant, it's like, ooh, we're in a sticky situation here. It's tough, yep. Man. It's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And that's the business we're in. Dude, you take the Bass Pro Tour guys, and in my opinion, unfortunately, you take all the guys in the Invitational now, and there's what, 300 of us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ton.
I mean, 300 guys all, you know, trying to keep their positions, and this is a small sport, and it's driven by the almighty dollar.
Mm-hmm.
It's still to this day kind of, it's funny how many guys try to make their living on tournament winnings instead of really buckling down and working seminars and
or just doing shows. The math that's physically impossible.
Exactly.
Just sit down with an Excel spreadsheet for 30 seconds and you go, oh shit, this wasn't a good idea.
I had a dynamite year this year, finished 30th in the points. I made all $10,000 checks, $70,000, and I profited $15,000.
You and Biscuit lived it up out there though, James. Don't think you did. I know how you guys roll. You and
dynamite
Biscuit.
Year. That was a hypothetical situation, but you think about that.
I know.
And here's the deal too, and I'm spinning down a different road. We are selling that crack to these anglers out there, the weekend warriors, and the young anglers in the college, and the crack is being slung out there year after. Oh, look how big the sport's
it's
getting
growing.
In college.
Deal. We're growing blah, blah, blah. It. It's growing.
Yeah. You listen to Marty, especially Marty on –
He's telling them to drink the water.
He is. He's like, man, water. There's eight of these guys in this invitation are fighting tooth and nail to get to the Bass Pro Tour. And I'm like, Marty, are you that? Is the league wanting to kick the eight guys that got their names on packages selling stuff for Spro and selling stuff for Strike King? You're wanting to get those guys who've been selling product for these companies and replace them with somebody that probably, well, you know, they got to have a future of the sport. And yeah, there is. But we don't have to lose 10% of our field every year for crying out loud. You know, they're just slinging it out there.
Oh, yeah.
And let's, you know, look at the guys that come up, Mitch Crane, Butler, Dakota Ebert. These guys are good fishermen,
real good fishermen.
Dakota is absolutely crushing it. How many Dakota E-Bears, Jacob Wheelers come up through the ranks like those guys do? One out of 150?
Yeah, one out of every couple hundred.
Yeah. So,
or maybe five. One out of every 500, maybe, truly, with those guys, because they're special talent.
Yeah. And so the longevity of this sport, we've got new people coming in, but – everybody's fighting over the same dollar. Well, keep fighting because it's worked out real good for my career.
You've got that. You got cigars, guns, fudge. You've got the fun stuff, buddy.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk about crankbaits because you're smoking a stogie, shooting a damn AR-15 into the air.
Yeah. And eating fudge.
Uranus.
And drinking coffee.
And drinking Black Rifle, injecting it into your veins.
Yeah, it's great. Spit. And I, you know, I'm doing burnouts in my 450 because I get tires for free.
That's right. So, yeah, General Tire too. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just do whatever you want. You're living the damn dream.
Spilling coffee out the window.
Just
catching the cab on fire.
Do you ever just go by burning. And just, you see some homeless guys on the corner, you just throw coffee at them to say, you're not me. Do you ever do that?
I do.
You do that.
Old cigars.
You just go to Springfield, Missouri, just ride around over on Glenstone.
Yeah. It's like, here, don't burn your house down. Have this cigar. Dude, did a cookout for all the framing crew at my new house.
I saw that. I saw that.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, you know, oh, how do you say cigar? I just said Fumar. And the crew chief or the foreman on the framing crew, it's like, hey, who wants some cigars? And I brought him some cigars out. And, you know, oh, we just had a good time cooking out.
And now, is your new place, and I meant to text you this, is it right there by where you're at now? In the same?
It's two lots over.
Okay,
yes.
So you are right there then. Okay.
As soon as you come through my gate, it's on the right-hand side.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard that gate. This man, and it's not because he's bougie. It's for his own protection. There are so many women that try to climb behind those walls that he has to have it gated. He's got a moat. If they can get through there, then they can get to James. But they got to get through a lot. Then they've made it, and he'll let them stick around for a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. It's funny.
Electric. You know what is funny? Electric gate.
The number of people that drive by my house, which is right on the water, as you know, and just scream up there, worldwide,
dude, it's Mecca for people outside of Branson.
Yeah. And it's Mecca. Screamed back. I was like, it's not worldwide, it's Fat Cat Newton. Because I'm fatter,
dude,
than Fat Cat.
I was gonna say you and me both, buddy. He's skinny cat.
Yeah, he's skinny cat.
He is, so. Dude. His journey with that is remarkable. Awesome. To see. Like when we first started MPFL to now, it's like, holy crap, dude. He's put the work in, man.
Inspiration.
One of the best dudes too. In this whole, I want everybody to be able to know Fat Cat. Like the people that are just fans of him. Like I want them to be able to be friends with him because he's just such a good dude, man. He's such a good dude.
And if there's anybody out there that wants their product represented, he's a dude.
You're not kidding. Yeah.
He's a dude worth hiring.
Yes, he is. He is indeed. Yep. He one of the hardest workers I've ever met, man. He just does not stop at all. So what's left for you this year? I know last year you got into some BFLs and stuff. Did I miss something?
You said something. No, you didn't. I did. You had said something about the I know we're jumping around, but that's because of me.
That's what me. We're back on.
So our organization, you know, between events, what happened at Cayuga to now, and you had mentioned this, Andy Morgan, I visited on the phone. We talk every once in a while. He's just somebody, you know, I'll never blow his phone up or anything, but if I got something important that I need to discuss, I'll call Andy Morgan.
Of course.
And we're talking about this and we're like, man, you know, not verifying, two hands over the gunnel, catching the same fish twice, all this that we watched. And I'm like, man, I said, I understand desperation makes men do things. And maybe the fear of losing your job, maybe you need that money. I said, but Andy, I said, I know this about you. And I said, I'll tell you about me. I said, I feel you're probably the same way. Is if I'm fishing and Cody Meyer doesn't run and runs by me and doesn't make some kind of obscene gesture to me every time or you, when you run by me or come by me and make an obscene, because they are obscene. Gestures.
Sometimes,
or scream something at me.
Of course. Yeah.
If those days go away,
I don't want it.
I'm done.
Yeah. I don't want it. That's right.
Because I live for that.
Yes. The camaraderie, dude. The camaraderie, period. Like if I can't, I'm with that. That statement alone made me miss FLW Tour right there.
Yeah. If you guys don't respect me or don't care for me, I'll have a problem with that. And my reputation, if my reputation was tarnished because of some shady shit and I couldn't face you guys anymore, I couldn't do it. But some guys don't care.
Man, they don't have that gear, dude.
The guys that don't care, you know, those are the guys you should be fearful of.
I agree.
And if heads would have rolled after watching live there was enough on live to say, okay, that fish ain't gonna count.
Yep.
That fish ain't gonna count. That fish ain't gonna count. That fish don't count. And those were taken in consideration. Assessments were handed down. Penalties were handed down. Money was taken, not given. Places were deducted. All that before we came here, or hey, we're going to let you know the verdict of your infractions, because we did see some infractions. The penalty, those were rule violations. We're going to assess you the night before at St. Clair.
Yep.
Or we're going to assess you after the first day of competition at St. Clair. And let that weigh on these guys' minds out while they're out here wondering what's going to happen to them. And don't you think that don't affect their fishing?
Well, of course. Or it should. It should. Yeah.
It should. But the thing is, it ain't.
It's not. I saw one of them on camera yesterday, dude. He's doing really well in the tournament.
Yeah, there's no repercussions.
And it's like, that's where when I saw that yesterday, I was like, that, and you and I had already setting this up. I was like, that's why I want to talk to James about this. Yeah. Just because you're in the event and you're like me and being honest. And I'm like, man, this is not okay. This feels dirty. Like, this just feels wrong that people that I love and respect are in this event that do things the right way, and they're having to compete against a guy that blatantly broke a rule on damn live camera, and he's just out here doing it again. He's right in the mix of this event with a chance to win $100,000. Like, that's not sucks.
Even flinched.
Not even flinched. That sucks. Flinched.
Yeah.
That sucks, man.
Yeah. That's part of the repercussions of doing wrong. It should be, you should suffer the mental anxiety of it. And if you don't have a conscience, that's not good.
No. I don't know. I would have had to take into social media to defend myself at the bare minimum, or apologize, or say, hey, this is under investigation, but like something to just act like it didn't happen and it'll wash over. That's why I do think MLF, they have a major responsibility here to do the right thing and to call this out for what it was, issue some kind of penalty. But I think names need to be listed. And look, there's some good guys getting caught up in it, but they also made the decision to do wrong.
Yeah.
So then that makes me question everything I knew about some guys. So I'm just like, I don't know, man. I don't know. You better man than me, because I would have probably shown my ass. Oh, of course not, dude. You're worldwide Watson, buddy. You're worldwide international James. I mean, Watson, okay, my Watson.
You. If I disappointed you as much as these guys did,
dude, I'd have called your ass, and you know
I'd be ashamed of myself.
But at the same time, you and I have that relationship, and if I was close with any of these guys, I would have just called and said, "What the hell?
Yeah,
like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah."
But luckily I don't, I feel like I don't associate with many folks that are capable of that. So, that's good. I don't think that I would ever call Wesley Strader. He'd be like, well, dude, I just wanted to catch it over and over and over on camera. I don't give a shit.
I told
Stephanie I had to catch that one 3 times in a row. I don't even care about these rules. I don't think I'll ever have that conversation with Wesley Strader ever in my life. Ever.
Yeah.
Or Suggs. Dude. Well, James.
So the rule about sight fishing got tightened up even more on this deal. So if I'm sight fishing, now before we went to this, I caught multiple sight fish in multiple tournaments the last few years, multiple times in the same day.
When it was every fish count.
Legal. Yes, and it was legal. Yeah. You turn them loose and you go back up there. I remember one time at Lake Fork had 3 fish on the same bed, and I weighed the 3.839 two times, snagged him once, and then the next 2 days later, caught, weighed him, snagged him, weighed him four times in
2 days.
What a
dumb fish.
What a dumb fish. And a 5'8", and a 5'6". And anyway, it was legal. I even done a Palestine on the heavy hitters. I was like, no, 310. I'm not finding anymore. It's been a while. Let's go see and catch that 310 again. I did it. It wasn't against the rules. So nobody could badmouth me. They could say, oh, man, I can't believe that guy's catching them again. Well, I'm going to because it's in the rules you can. But now it's in the rules you can't. And they defined the rules sight fishing to. Now we were told that if you go to boat swing one, you know, boat flip one, and swing him in, and in midair he comes unhooked.
Don't count.
That you can't count him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Nah, I don't agree with that.
But, dude.
What if that fish was, I could see it with my own two eyes.
The official's got to be able to, though, right? That's the whole deal.
So they tightened it up. I was like, okay, there it is.
Hey, let me ask you this, too. I had this in my notes. This just hit when I said official. So this year, MLF, you guys had actual full-time officials that traveled to all the events, and now I think that crew is only for the final day, right?
Yeah, we got 10 or 12 now.
So you got marshals now, which this is the same in Bassmaster. They're there to verify rules and things like that. But I'm saying these, for me, it's an intimidating position to put a fan in. If a guy is just a fan, because I see these, right. I see these guys that get to be boat officials posting on Instagram. They're delighted to spend a day. I get to go a Worldwide Watson tomorrow. Well, what if you have a situation where you're like, hey man, yeah, that counted. And it's a guy that just showed up for one rule. I feel like that intimidation factor, not saying it happens, I'm just saying it would be easy for it to happen. If a guy's a super fan of Kevin Van Dam, again, not picking on Kevin, but he's a super fan of the freaking go to bass fishing, and Van Dam's like, oh, I wasn't sight fishing that one. Oh, you're right, Uncle Kev. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it would be, you could say it would be easy for that to happen if it's not a guy that's always at an event and knows the rules like the back of his hand. I think there was an issue. Maybe the official told Talk that something was in the rules and it wasn't too on live, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe that did happen.
I saw that. And that was a concern of mine as well. Very much a concern of mine. And so far, everybody that that I've had as a boat official has been top notch. Top notch.
They're not letting you get away with any shenanigans then, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So everything I've seen with this, and it's worked out real good. The pool, the process of becoming a boat official has been told to us it's heavily screened.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it is. And it's gotta be.
And it's very systematic. So far it's working, in my opinion.
Okay.
So, and if there's anything, and I will tell you this, and I'll tell listeners of your
low lifers
podcast.
Low lifers, yeah. James. They're low lifers.
Low lifers.
And some of them are Worldwide fans as well.
Stupidest podcast ever.
But no, there are a couple that are way dumber than this. Fishing alone.
Panrack. Yeah, Panrack.
Stupid panger. No, I wasn't even talking about him.
I don't even know where I was going now.
Yeah, well, you derailed it by trying to talk trash about Panger on BTL.
I know. That's
and he's my guy.
Oh, man. The boat official, if there's something that you got as an angler and the boat official says one thing and you think the other, you freeze, you call the tournament director, and you get it rectified on the spot. So if I have a discrepancy or my boat official has something that I don't agree with, which is, this has only happened one time, we call the tournament director and he verifies and confirms. And I said, okay, now we know.
As it should be.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I've said this before, boat officials are there to officiate. If they miss a call, you know, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
There is some self-policing.
That's right.
In this sport. You have to self-police, you know.
Well, our sport's really, and it doesn't matter, boat official, tournament where you got a co-angler, you know, whatever, our sport is at very best self-policed.
Yeah.
It is at the root of it. It is self-policed. Whether that's a team tournament, you and your buddy, it is self-policed. All of it is self-policed. Whether you got a guy wearing an official jersey in the back or not, you as a professional have every ability to know and you have the responsibility to know the rules and to adhere by them. Period. Yeah. End of story. Whether that guy's in there or not.
Yeah.
Damn sure do when a camera's over your shoulder.
That's right. Man, golly.
That's brave, dude. That's another level of a whole new level of bravery, especially in this day and time of TikToks and Facebooks and the Instagrams where people can just cut a clip and post it and go, hey, I think this was cheating. And then it just goes viral.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, what are you thinking, man?
Yeah. I mean, it's
I think last week I said it would be like cheating on your girl and making a lovely tape as you do it, which I would never think you would ever do anything like that.
You said Photoshop. That's somebody Photoshopped my face on that.
Yeah, it's definitely not me. It's
definitely not me.
The only way you would know it wasn't me if they were like abs. Like if the guy had abs, I'd be like, hey, honey, obviously, this was AI. This is not me. Yeah. I got Oreo dad bod. Okay.
That's right.
Tito's and Oreos, baby.
Good Lord.
Who are you rooming with this week up there, Jamesy?
The John Hunter, his camera dude, Ryan, and Brandon Coulter.
Okay.
I've been running the roads with Coulter for a few years.
I knew you and Coulter were thick as thieves.
Yeah. Yeah. So
John Boy Hunter,
luscious hair.
I was gonna say luscious locks. John Boy's got
yes. So it's a good crew. We all get along great and stuff, and always have a good time. John's been finding the places, and in the past, most of the time, I'm the one that's been finding the places for us.
So you're not camping then this year.
No, I'm so busy building my new house, dude, that I haven't checked with my camper. And I had double carpal tunnel surgery in December. And
no comment there. I feel like there's so many jokes there. So little time.
Yeah, so many. So little time. But my hands hurt so bad, even before the first event, that I wasn't strong enough in that Lance pickup camper takes a little work to get it in, on and off the truck.
I'm sure.
So I haven't messed with it. Okay. And Biscuit, it's not big enough yet. Old enough to drive full time. And I let her drive all the time, but while she's wearing sunglasses and smoking cigarettes, driving down the interstate in my 450. So
why the image of your little wiener dog driving?
Not even looking at the road, both paws, looking over me and then looking out the window. On Saturday,
do you remember the cat on Saturday Night Live back in the day? Toons Scissor?
Yes, that one. That's how Biscuit drives. Never pays any attention to the Ford. It's always looking at me, looking over at out the window.
Biscuit, eyes on the road, damn it. Eyes on the pride, Biscuit. I'm over here trying to email, get some work done.
I'm trying to sleep with confidence
over here. Turn that low-budget live podcast off, Biscuit. Turn it down and listen to this trash. Biscuit's a low-life.
She is. Oh, boy.
The Adventures of James and Biscuit. I still think you need to document that more than you do, but.
Oh, I should. Because it's freaking hilarious. She gets so excited, ready to go. We go outside, and I go to my truck. She follows me, and I put her in. And we ain't down the road 3 miles, and she's sitting over there on her little blanket and pillow. Won't even raise her head up, and just her eyeballs just look up at me, just pissed. She knows Dad's getting ready to drive.
Getting ready to leave. Who
knows how long.
Gonna be gone again.
Yeah.
James Watson, go get you. We've got to re-rig some stuff, I guess, for tomorrow.
I'm done. I already did it.
Just one rod Todd Castledine in it.
Dude, I got 4 drop shots tied on, a swim bait tied on, spy bait tied on, and I got 2 bait casting rods out and ready, jerk bait and a crank bait.
Just in case.
That's it.
Case.
Last time I was here, it was a whopper plopper and a chatterbait, and I made the cut. Thought I murdered them because I did. When you get to come up here and throw a whopper plopper, it's freaking fun.
Sounds terrible. I did that at Champlain one time. That was a good time.
Dude, I did that at Champlain too for a Toyota a couple of years ago. Unreal.
They do not like it. They just hate it. They hate everything about it.
Yeah.
Man. Those fisheries up there are so much fun. Well, dude, we'll go. Go smash 22 pounds tomorrow, would you?
I will. I want everybody.
Actually, you don't need to tomorrow.
I will need to catch 20 tomorrow, but I want everybody to follow my house build. Ferguson is a sponsor of mine now. Imagine that, helping me out with a lot of product in my house going in. Hayden Machinery helped me out with my house. A whole bunch. Beretta Decking, Composite Decking Company. Whole bunch. Just keep watching my social media as I build this monstrosity of a home. I'm throwing all my savings into this thing. It's like I'm betting a farm on this house, dude. And my house that you've been to, my current home, will be a full-time nightly rental. We got people in it right now. I got people in it right now renting it. It's going to be full-time for weddings and nightly rental, dude. Getting the place all jazzed up, looking good.
I gotta come back to Table Rock.
This is my next. Hey, the Toyota Championship. Guess who's sharing a room at my house at the Toyota Championship this fall?
Okay, Fat Todd has got to be one of them. I feel like
Fat Todd is one of them.
And let's see.
Ish.
Oh God.
I'm gonna make them share a room. They're like, that one's empty, and I'm no, it's not. That one's haunted.
I just need live streaming all the time to listen to them out talk each other.
Dude, you ought to just come in.
Think I might. I'm just going to mark that on the calendar and just do podcast nightly podcasts while they just fight with each other about who's got the best frog.
And then and Tad going down, Fat Tad going down some rabbit holes. Like I shouldn't tell you, but I'm going to tell you. And I bet I'm. But I'm going to tell you.
It's so true.
And I'm like, no, I don't know if I want to. I'm going to, we're going to talk about this. And we're not talking about it at all. I was like, wait a second. I'm so confused.
I don't like your trickery, Todd.
Yeah.
He's like, witchcraft. Hits.
Yeah, he does. He performs some real, real trickery. I'm like, man, my head's spinning.
Hey, Britt,
are we here or Britt not
just,
here?
Britt just keeps putting up with him, though.
Yep. Oh my gosh, that's going to be fun.
That will be fun.
I forgot who all's staying. I got a house full, dude. House full.
That sounds like a good time, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, James.
thanks for having me on, Bill.
I appreciate you, buddy. And catch them up the rest of the week, would you?
I will.
Go make the championship round.
I will. You call me sometime soon. We'll prank call Bill Taylor.
I would love to do that, actually. We should have done that this morning, but he's probably at church.
We should have. He is at church. You know him.
I know that's right. All right, James. Thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks. Thank you.
James,
see you, bud.
Worldwide Watson, everybody, right there. Just calling balls and strikes is what he does. I have a great time with James Watson, in case y'all were wondering. Every podcast that we've ever done is always like one of my favorite episodes. And this one is I think this is a very important topic in as far as the sport of professional bass fishing is concerned. And I know that's what this podcast is rooted in. And it is, man. There's an integrity level that needs to be maintained. And we have gotten off of the tracks of that way too much in the last few years. But this deal here from Cayuga is blatant. It was on camera. It's ridiculous. Something needs to be done. And the fact that these guys just get to go and fish the next event, I think there should be a suspension deal until everything gets sorted out. You shouldn't be allowed to compete for another $100,000. It's just not fair to the people doing it the right way. It's just not. So thanks to James for joining me. Thanks to y'all, the lowlifers, for tuning in. Again, July 3rd is my 40th birthday. That would be the next lowlifer, low budget live podcast. And I'm not going to do one. I'm not going to do one. I'm going to be on vacation with the fam. We leave in a couple days. But I promise you, we will try to get together later after the 4th that same week, all right, for hopefully some live. For hopefully some live. He'll take you out with some Biloxi Blues. I appreciate y'all very much week in and week out. I have a blast doing this. And thank you for everything you've given me. And I'll see y'all next time. That was really loud, by the way. See you. Happy 4th of July. Happy birthday, America.
Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no. Heading my way for another place, and I got 3 good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.